Good morning. Today is Friday, September the 30th. Joining us this morning is Cal Poly Humboldt Provost, Jen Capps. Good morning. See, I got them all right.
Good morning.
Got the
well
name right,
done.
Got the school right, got everything right.
It's only taken a few months. It's okay.
Yeah, well, step at a time.
Nice job.
Thanks. Are you ready for our Why We Say That?
Absolutely.
You really? Okay. Whippersnapper.
Why do we say whippersnapper?
Whippersnapper, yes.
I don't have a clue. Someday I'll get one of these.
Yeah. No doubt you've noticed that any person who's called a whippersnapper is either a juvenile or a learner who is barely dry behind the ears. The full title addressed to such a young person or boss or used out of hearing is likely to be young whippersnapper. One of the earliest skill sets learned by a greenhorn cowboy, so much for your Colorado.
I guess.
Yes. Greenhorn cowboy is that of snapping a black snake whip. Decades ago, lots of fellows who could not bulldog a steer or rope a maverick prided themselves on being able to strut into a village while calling attention to themselves by snapping their whips. Only neophytes, young fellows who didn't even know how to tote guns, followed this practice. But it was common enough to lead folk who never saw a trail's herd dust to adopt whippersnapper as just the right label for any brash but unskilled beginner.
Huh. Wow, that's quite the explanation.
Kind of a long way to get around there, but I understand at the end.
Right?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
The unexperienced.
Yes. Well, I learn something every time I come here, so.
Truly, truly amazing.
Remarkable.
Huh. Oh, gee. So now that we're into the fall quarter? Fall semester?
Fall semester.
Do we even have quarters anymore?
Some schools do. We do not.
Okay.
No.
So we have three semesters.
Well, we have the fall and the spring and then summer session, which is a little bit different.
Session. Okay, fine.
Summer session's a little unique, yes. We're trying to make it less unique. But
so we're into semester fall.
You bet.
What's your read on it?
My read on it is it's going very well. There's a lot of energy and excitement on campus. We're, I think, week six at this point in time. It's neat for me because I've not had a semester here in the 2 years and 2 months that I've been here that has been kind of fully on. But there's activities and events all the time. There's students out in the field, out in the community. There's just a lot of energy and excitement on campus. So it's a neat place to be.
On campus versus off campus, does it really matter too much where everybody is? I know there's been a push to have some of those classrooms off-site.
Mm-hmm. You
know, share the wealth is kind of how I read a little bit. But
yeah,
how is that element of this starting to work out?
Yeah, good question. You're right. I think one of our objectives, or President Jackson's objective, is to
Our objective. Come
our,
on.
Yeah, well, yeah, well I want to give him the credit, but I 110% am with him. Get the campus out into the community more. And I use the term blur the lines between where campus begins and ends with the community, because if we truly are a workforce sort of informed campus, then we need to be out at the location of the jobs in the schools, doing community service, all of those things, as well as our students are already doing that stuff. I run into students everywhere, at the beach, in the forest, all over the place, doing research in a class, those sorts of things. But yeah, I mean, really the push is to get our presence in Eureka, in Arcata, in McKinleyville, all over the place so that we're much more easily accessible. We don't want to be that isolated thing that's up on the hill, right, as you say. So,
well, it's not just me.
Oh,
on.
I know. Well, but but we want to be accessible and relevant to the community.
So they recognize you when you're stomping through the woods?
Yes.
Okay.
It is. I get, yes. It's a weird thing to be walking down the street and have people say hello to you and hi. And
by name?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just being part of us.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. So when I moved here and literally pulled into the driveway of my house, hadn't even gotten out of the car, had been stuck up in construction, up in coming down 299, you know, you're on the road from Colorado
dusty,
for many days.
Sweaty,
gross.
Just feeling real nasty. Yeah.
I literally step out of the car and, Provost Caps, it's great to see you. Wonderful to meet you. I was like, where did I move?
Was that before or after you went, oh, no.
I was like, wow.
With the grunge factor.
Like, I had literally not even stepped out, like, stepping out of my car for the first time, so, and people knew who I was. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Different. But,
did they show you the cutout pictures that they had of you?
Right?
Yeah.
But, since that time, it's a neat place. I love, love, love living here. I do, and it's 100% different than Denver or D.C. where I lived previously, so.
Oh, good Lord, I hope so.
Yeah, it's very different.
If anybody ever equated us to the swamp, I mean, we have our own swamps.
The swamp? Where's the swamp?
Washington, D.C.
Oh.
It was built on a swamp, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I still think that we would all be better served, regardless of the administration, if they eliminated all air conditioners from government buildings in Washington, D.C. In the old days, it was like 3 or 4 months, and that was it, because they couldn't tolerate it. Now, there were mosquitoes and stuff.
Yeah.
Too. But that was it, and they didn't want to be there.
That would
and
be
now,
brutal.
Now, it's like they don't want to go home. A lot of times, I mean, you hear about it that way. At least.
There's the traffic factor, too, that makes it difficult to get to and from. I'm just going to say.
Oh, you mean public transportation is not being taken by those folks?
Public transportation is being taken by those folks, but the system is overwhelmed. It was overwhelmed when I lived there 30 years ago. Just saying. It's an adventure.
Nothing to build a little confidence like seeing your congressman out on the street hitchhiking.
Oh. Okay, we digress.
With our Secret Service around them.
Uh-huh, yeah. Okay, there you go. That is funny.
Yeah, it is unique, certainly getting out with the school and the infrastructures that are being planned and that are being done.
Mm-hmm.
Will you be able to have the growth pattern that you're hoping for run parallel to the structural growth that's needed to accommodate that?
A super good question. That is an in-depth question. So the answer is yes, but it's going to take a lot of steps in tandem to make that happen. But yeah, we'll be able to do that for sure.
See, I knew you could do that in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
KINS News, regardless of how complicated it is, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps from Cal Poly Humboldt.
Well done, times two. It might be a thing.
This could be an ugly trend.
Yeah.
I mean, perfection is a tough thing to try to even strive for, let alone achieve.
It's fantastic. You know, actually, we had, I'll throw back and then go back to the topic we were talking about, but we had a move-in 6 weeks ago. A little brother of a Cal Poly Humboldt student write a little letter, an application letter to campus. And he was 9 years old. The coolest letter. I was like, wow, this kid's smarter than me. Like, all his references to flora and fauna and all the great things in the major that he wanted to develop in, like, biogeography and all this stuff.
As a nine-year-old?
It was incredible. But what was hilarious is he said, Dear HSU Admissions, and then he put a big line through HSU and said, Dear Cal Poly Humboldt. So even the young ones are trying to get it right. So I thought that was funny, but super incredible young person to come to campus here in the future, I think.
I was trying to figure out Bambi.
Bambi?
Yeah, at nine.
Oh, yeah, fair enough, yeah. Right? Yeah, this kid is advanced. I was like, oh, this is the Cal.
You may not
students.
Want him. I don't know. He's coming after your job at 12.
No kidding. The caliber of students I think we're attracting is amazing. But you asked about enrollment, and so it's interesting. Enrollments is such a complex question. I feel like, you know, as many people know, our enrollment here had been tanking. It had been in a free fall decline for a variety of reasons. You know, students weren't going to college. We rely very much on attracting students from out of the area, because even if we're attracting local students, we don't have enough local students to fill the campus, as well as a variety of other things. And so part of the purpose to switch to a polytechnic is to align with what students want with respect to majors. I know that's a wild idea, as well as...
Well, let's just call it novel.
Right. Novel, right?
Yeah.
So to figure out what major students were really, really dying for, where the workforce gaps were, and really align that. And the hope was this year for our enrollment just to flatten out, or maybe even still be on the decline a little bit, because our new programs don't actually start until fall of next year.
I think it's called the soft landing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So stop with the free fall, right? And so what actually happened is we're up about 150 students. Now, we are like over the moon thrilled doing backflips, because we thought we would still probably be down a little bit. Why I also say 150 students is good, but it's not like we haven't doubled our enrollment.
It's only 150 kids.
It's 150 kids when you recognize that, we've down thousands of students over the past several years. So I say that, and that connects to the infrastructure piece, because obviously building buildings takes some time, right? There's planning, we're building housing, we're building academic buildings and that sort of thing. And so it certainly takes time. And what we're doing in the meantime, as the enrollment is starting to creep back up again, is partnering with folks in the community to leverage different housing options for students, and then also bring online some of these bigger housing projects to align with when we predict the enrollment will increase. So
that prediction thing's kind of a little science unto itself, isn't it?
It is. It is. It definitely is. But so far, it's like we want to be, what's the term that our budget folks use? It's like conservatively accurate. So because...
That's cool.
Yeah.
Not heard that one before.
Yeah. So you want to, because... If you can imagine, we have to try to predict. When we try to predict what our enrollment is going to be, do sort of low, medium, high, because our budget, most of our budget comes from tuition dollars. We get some state support, but mostly tuition dollars. So if we want to make sure that we remain on budget, we have to predict what we think the enrollment's going to be. And you don't want to be so off base, because obviously that has implications.
The endowment isn't big enough to handle that kind of thing at
Correct,
all.
Correct, yeah. Exactly. And so so that's why. And so where we are, essentially, because we had a low, medium, and high, and we exceeded just slightly our high, which is great, which means we have a little bit more money in our pockets at the campus to be able to support.
A little wiggle room.
Yeah, which is novel. We haven't had wiggle
room.
That's
a technical term also.
Yes, we have not had wiggle room in our budget in a long, long time.
Yeah, so as the upswing is beginning, you indicated that the new classes aren't going to start until next fall.
The new majors, so the...
Well, you're starting that process.
You bet,
Yeah. Are these going to require all the way back down to freshman level, or are these classes more for the sophomores through seniors that the new capacity is going to be built for?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, most of the new courses are going to be more junior-senior. I mean, a lot of the first year and second year is a lot of general studies courses anyway for most college students. There are some introductory courses for these majors like data science and engineering and geospatial, those kinds of things, but it's more limited. It's more the junior senior classes. What we're trying to predict for is how many transfer students we're going to get.
That's why I was going to ask you, because with the JCs being as not only as prevalent, but as probably economically sensitive, if the state is going into a recession, like everybody's indicating, I would think that their likelihood is you're going to get a bunch of 2-year kids, not 4-year kids. And that's totally different. I mean, each one's worth half
Good question. So our enrollment spike. I say 150 students is spike. For us, it's a spike. We had, though, probably 300 or 400 where the huge increase was actually first time freshman students. So we had 300 or 400. We were above what we projected.
So freshmen were up. Who was off?
Transfer was down, and returning students was down a little bit.
So the transfers I would get, you know, if somebody else closer or different is offering similar programs, okay, fine, you know, no harm, no foul. Kids not coming back, and that being higher than the traditional percentages.
I don't think
it'd be a little bit of a head scratcher.
Yeah, it's not higher. It's just that was still remained our retention. We still have some work to do on that. Community college enrollment is down quite a bit.
Oh, really? Statewide?
Yes.
Huh. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps from Humboldt. See, I can even go short, huh?
You've read...
I can say H also.
Yeah, you can say H dot. We have a new branding thing. Yeah, that's something we could talk about too. But Cal Poly Humboldt or Humboldt are the official sort of tagline. So you're on point today.
Yeah.
Nice job.
I'll have to screw it up in the fourth.
For old time's sake?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Don't want you to get... think I got too much going for me here.
Fair enough.
With the enrollment patterns that you were alluding to in the last segment, Jen, with the junior college component in there, that is, I guess going back decades, JCs were not the transfer. It was for more the vocational career tech, whatever we want to call it these days. I know there's some cutesy-wootsy phrases. Okay. And the state colleges and universities, that was for different. You know, you had the teaching track if you were going to a state. If you were going to research, you were going to the UCs.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. Thank you very much. And very clear lines of delineation.
Mm-hmm.
All muddled up now. But at that point, it was kind of there.
Right.
So as you look at transfer students coming in, what does that look like for you?
Yeah,
or for the school.
Yeah, I mean, good question. I mean, right now, and our closest partner is College of the Redwoods, and we work a lot with them, obviously. But, community college enrollment just broadly has been down. I think the pandemic has really impacted them as well. I think a lot of people have deferred going to college more broadly and a little bit more toward the vocational track or just not going at all. And so we're needing to more broadly introduce the value of college and why that's important, I think.
College or continuing education? Because I think it's different. You know, individually, I think it's different. You know, if I want to have a specialization, let's say I want to be an electrician.
Right.
Okay, I don't need a 4-year degree in electrical science to get there.
You don't, although what I think is of value is mapping those two things together, because if you want to be an electrician, then that skilled trade is super important and not easy to get, by the way. I mean, I don't think there's enough.
Yeah, the price of tuition, if you're not paying attention in class, is kind of stiff.
Yeah. I don't think enough respect sometimes is offered to people that are skilled tradespeople, to be perfectly honest with you. And a lot of, but what happens in my experience sometimes is that people who are electricians or work in manufacturing or healthcare or something like that, after a while, they want to go on to be the manager, or they want to own their own business, or they want to elevate and then they need
augment their life experience.
Correct.
And then bump up. Yeah.
And then they often need the degree. And so a lot of the work I did in Denver prior to coming here, and I think is what's informing some of my vision with academic stuff, is how do you create pathways for that stuff to count? So if somebody comes in and has an electrician cert, or if they have whatever that is, how do they obtain some college credit that counts toward that four-year degree? Why do they have to kind of do a do-over?
Well, yeah, I would think even more really basic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some guy that's been in business, doesn't
right.
matter what the niche is,
mm-hmm.
10 or 12 years.
Right.
Okay, recession hits, he has to shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are a whole lot more experiences that that individual has than
right.
probably what the professor has.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching that class.
Right.
But now they have to go back and do bonehead English.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, take the SATs and, mm-hmm. Or worse yet, go back to when they did take them 35, 40, 60 years ago.
Right.
And go, oh, that's mm-hmm. what you got. I mean,
yeah.
it seems like it's, as you were alluding to, it's good for the flow through.
Right.
But for somebody who may not be in the spot to take it right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is that something that you're looking at?
Yeah.
Trying to figure that one out?
Yeah, I mean, a great example of what you're talking about is firefighters and firefighters who want to promote up through. I mean, this program I developed, like I say, at my previous institution, one we're working on here too, is that you have, you know, fire chiefs and captains and stuff that don't have an undergrad degree.
Pulled hose.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. However, they don't need to go through fire, you know, learning about fire, right? But they do, in order to get a bachelor's degree in the state of California, actually in the United States, there are certain courses that you need to get that. So it's actually doing a flipped model where it's almost like they get credit for their firefighter skills and the courses they've taken, and then they have to kind of fill in on the back end some of those kind of general education kinds of classes.
So the time on task, they pretty much have got their senior studies already done.
Exactly.
And you got to work
yep.
on accounting 101
yep.
or whatever it might
yeah.
happen to be.
And to me, that's really also fits my sort of narrative is probably not the right vision, I guess, about I want Cal Poly Humboldt to avail itself to pathways of education for anybody and everybody.
Make that happen. Yeah.
Exactly. And yeah. so our first-time freshmen or transfer students, that's great. We'll continue to do that. But what about part-timers who want to get education? What about people that got halfway through a bachelor's degree or like, I can't do a bachelor's degree because I can't come at 10 a.m. I work, right? How do you help to create pathways for them to seek their degree?
Well, I think it would be cool for the kids to see somebody other than mom and dad.
Uh-huh.
Talking, you know, even if they grew up in a family that has business,
mm-hmm.
to see, you know, some of those pressures and dynamics,
mm-hmm.
It would be interesting, like a basic business class.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're not dealing with text. Let's talk about the pressures
mm-hmm.
of hitting payroll.
Right.
Well, that's not in the chapter. Doesn't matter if it's in the chapter or not. That's part of reality in business.
Absolutely.
And bring in some of that real world perspective.
Absolutely. And that's why
cool.
one of my goals is to have every student have some sort of paid internship or research experience and that before they graduate. And that's that blurred lines between the community and the campus.
In their field or?
In their field, period. Preferably, but period.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's
8:43. Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps from... Oh, that place in Arcata.
H dot.
I don't want to screw up a good thing, but I just don't want to do perfection either. So
California State Polytechnic
that
University.
Place
How about we'll do a full namer?
Well, it used to be Cal State University Humboldt.
It's been a few things.
Yeah.
That name didn't last very long, though.
No. Talk about zero. I mean, that was from HSC.
Okay.
To that, and nobody bought it.
No.
Yeah, it's still Hayward State for me, too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it just, you know.
Yeah.
And Hayward, it's a state school. It's Don't give me East Bay.
Yeah, the CSU Humboldt I saw stuck for a couple of years only. I don't know.
Collector items now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Night classes, summer classes, certifications, summer school, all those types of things that aren't part of that mainstream.
Uh-huh.
Four-year, five-year degree or post, you know, graduate degree and all that kind of stuff that gives you the funny letters after your name. Is there recognition that that would also be a way for the school and the community to kind of hold hands and come together as an us instead of a we them?
Absolutely. Part of the polytechnic self-study process was inviting in a lot of community members, and me in particular, going out and meeting with lots of groups. And what I heard a lot was things like, don't take away the online classes once the pandemic is over. Can you bring classes out to us? How about having classes on nights and weekends? Do more robust summer? And those are things that are like, well, obviously, right? We haven't been great at that. We have little pockets of excellence where we do that. For example, when we brought back the RN to BSN nursing program, they do that. So they do some online courses, and then they do several hours of face-to-face instruction, like on the weekend,
Are templates that exist.
Exactly.
It just haven't been embraced at Humboldt historically.
In certain programs. Nursing is one. We have a leadership studies program, which is very much about taking people in roles like firefighters and EMTs and different things and helping them on a pathway to a four-year degree. And so that's primarily an online program, but they have some meetup time that night, weekend kinds of things too. So it's more program-based here and there, but it isn't robust. And so part of what we're working out is which programs, we probably can't do it for every program, but which can have a parallel track, right?
Yeah.
Of weekend offerings or summer session or around the year. I also think about accelerated programs. Like also for example, for education and teachers, like they're off during the summer, at least. Let me say that different because teachers work a lot. Like teachers have to work other jobs sometimes over the summer, but they don't often have classes,
they're
right?
They're not in the classroom.
Correct. Yeah. And so that's an opportune time for them to get additional education, right?
Or night classes also, or weekends.
Absolutely. You got it. So just thinking about rather than what happens in higher ed a lot is that, and I was a faculty member for many years myself, oh, this is when I like to teach. This sets things up nicely for my life. Wait a minute. Not about me.
Yeah.
Right?
Customer.
What's better for, I took a taste of my own medicine. And for example, at my previous institution where I was teaching, I was like, you know, our students need a statistics class in the evening. Okay, talk about that's a tough sell, but we had so many students that needed this required course, and so I raised my hand, said I would teach in the evening. It filled in a second because students needed that
you
nighttime option.
You were a
stats
teacher?
Yeah.
That's the one class I haven't taken towards a major.
Yeah. Well, truth be told, so I was a...
Even if you can fake it. It doesn't matter.
I'm a psychologist by training. I was a criminal justice faculty member. But I also, I worked a lot in the intersectionality between criminal justice, healthcare, and psychology. We'll say it like that. But truth be told, in college, I failed statistics. I got the first test, I got the lowest score in the entire class. And of course, the stats professor put everybody's grades up.
Because it's stats.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't put the names, but I saw my test score and flunked it. Now, I mean, after having a different experience with a great teacher, I went on to get a doctoral minor in statistics. So it just goes to show you it is possible to turn it around.
I thought you were going to go to the Charlie Brown phrase.
Which was?
Those that can't do teach.
Oh. Ah. Well, perhaps there's that at times, but.
Well, at least, you know, you can post that one grade, highlight yourself, and show people that they can come out of that abyss.
It is my intro story to say if you think you can't do it, you can.
Yeah.
It just requires, you know.
Time, effort.
It does.
Yeah.
But it's hard.
And sometimes treasure.
Right? Yeah. I had to take that class more than once, so.
Yeah.
But it turned out okay.
That was not referencing bribing.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. Okay. Anyway.
But maybe.
right. But yeah, we are trying to do a number of things to really bend to what prospective students and families need rather than just doing what we like to do.
Perfect. Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
Cal Poly Humboldt.
You got it.
See everybody Monday.